be familiar with hearing this message. Please mind the gap. Please mind the gap between the train and the platform. This is played time and time again, particularly if you're around London, because the tube station will play, the overground will play. And this is a phrase that came together in 1969. They realized that it was becoming too much of an effort to rely on humans to warn people of the danger between the gap and the platform. And so rather than rely on the attendants to say that warning, they decided to record it, and now it's played over and over again. Please mind the gap. Please mind the gap between the train and the platform. And just in case you miss it by audio, they also inscribe it in some stations on the actual platform itself. And so you can see it just before you enter the train. You see that message of warning, mind the gap. Now, why are they doing this? They're trying so hard to get your attention and my attention. And the reason is simple. There's danger there. If you're to accidentally find yourself stepping in between the gap, between the train and the platform, there's serious harm that could occur. And so they do their very best to warn you and to give you this message of warning. Mind the gap. Now, today I want to share with you another message of warning that Christ has laid before all of us. A message of warning that comes through the Bible, where God is shouting a message of warning, clear message of warning, that we all must take heed and take account of. And the summary of this is simple. The further we distance ourselves from God, or the bigger the gap between us and God, the greater the danger that we find ourselves in. I'll pause and let you think about that, because that's the focus of our message today. The bigger the gap between us and God, the greater the danger that we find ourselves in. Now, I want us to go to the very beginning of the Bible. We read our scripture reading in that last book of the Bible, Revelation. If you turn with me now to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and I will read in your hearing. This is describing the condition of the earth right at the beginning after God had finished creation. The Bible says this: Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was... I'm just asking for your feedback. It's warm in the room. If you have a Bible... Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Let's pause there. Picture in your mind. They say the best thing if you're following on a message is to also use your brain. It's supposed to be stimulating your mind. Think about an empty space, void. It was dark. That's how the Bible describes it. There was nothing in the beginning. And God at... And through his son Jesus, he speaks the world into existence, and these things start to come up. You start to have trees, you start to have grass, you have the animals coming on the scene, you have the birds, the sea creatures, and all of this coming onto the scene. And bit by bit, the earth changes form. And at the end of it, God steps back, and he looks at everything that he has made, and that your Bible and my Bible says, indeed, everything was very good. Now, there's a book called The Story of Redemption. It actually puts another additional emphasis on this. It says, the earth came forth from the hand of the Creator exceedingly beautiful. The bare high rocks were never seen upon them, but lay beneath the surface, answering as bronze to the earth. The hills, mountains, and very beautiful plains were adorned with plants and flowers and tall, majestic trees of every description, which were many times larger and much more beautiful than the trees now are. I remember going for a bike ride. Some of you will remember this ride because you were there. When we go down to Derwent Valley and do the men's bike rides. And a friend of ours, I'm sad that he's not actually here or not coming at the moment. We took one of those tens, you're negotiating a curve, and suddenly this beautiful scenery just kind of is in front of you as you make the turn. And I remember he was by my side, and he suddenly just said, "Wow, how can you look at this and say there is no God?" Just exclaiming at the beauty that lay in front of us, how beautiful nature was. And we appreciate nature now because it's lovely to be outdoors, but the Bible and further readings that we have before us give us a picture that in fact what we have now is a tarnished image of what it was in the beginning. It was very good according to the Bible. It was exceedingly beautiful. There were no rough, rugged edges on the mountain. It was all smooth plains covered in flowers and in trees. And what we see now and we call beautiful, in fact, it's not like it was before. Again, we read that Adam and Eve, when they were placed in the garden, they had everything for their happiness which they could desire. They didn't lack anything. God had specifically thought about what their needs would be and placed them within the garden with everything that they desired. And I would like to imagine, as I use my imagination, a peaceful world. A world where things didn't decay. A world where there was no death. A world where there was no pain. A world where there was no suffering. Because God hadn't created suffering. He hadn't created his creatures to suffer death. But he intended that things will continue to be very good, like the Bible said. But what went wrong? It appears somewhere along the course of life, something went wrong. Something changed from it being very good to it being the state that it is now. I'll share with you, when I was new to this country, in fact, I'll trace back high school. Now, many people here, if you're honest with yourself, when you got to high school, there's all sorts of hormones and everything happening in your system, and you find yourself in relationships, let me put it that way. They may not necessarily be serious relationships that are leading to marriage, but it seems to be that the way that we build at a certain stage, adolescence, then these things start to happen. And I remember at the time having the so-called relationship at the time. It wasn't anything serious, but you kind of get caught on in what everybody else is doing. And I remember the time when I then left to come here, being in a relationship. Nothing was thought ahead of what would happen after you move. And it wasn't long after I actually moved here that I realized this is not going to work. I'm suddenly many, many thousands of miles away from the person that I say I love. And I don't know when the next time I will see her because I haven't planned to return imminently or anything like that. So even though at first there was an exchange in communication taking place, it was simply a matter of time before we both realized this was simply not going to work. And gradually the relationship just deteriorated. Not that it was intended that way, but because of the distance, things happened that way. Now, why do I share this with you? Message of warning. Remember what we said, as we increase the distance between us and God, things deteriorate. Not that you actually intended to deny God and to say there is no God. And many of us come in week in after week, Sabbath after Sabbath. We strongly believe there is God. We strongly believe in the Bible. But Satan has his ways. Satan has his traps that he lays before us. And these things are designed to increase the distance between us and God. And before we notice, that relationship that we thought we had has been severed, or that relationship isn't as strong as it was before. I believe Adam and Eve fell in the same trap, as Satan came and used his skill and his tactic to increase the distance between them and God. They found themselves facing this for the very first time. The flowers that had been so beautiful, the trees that had been so majestic, started to decay. And the writing before you on the screen says that the very first time that Adam and Eve watched the very first flower fall, they mourned much more than we mourn death nowadays. I'm paraphrasing what's on your screen. They had never seen this before. Things were very good. Remember when God finished creation? The earth was exceedingly majestic. And suddenly when they committed sin, after they disobeyed God, suddenly things took a turn and things started to decay.
Yes.
And at the falling of the first leaf, Adam with his companion mourned deeply than men mourn now over their dead. This was news. This was unintended. God had never intended this to be. Now you and I cannot fully understand because we haven't seen what it was like in the beginning. We grow to a world that's already decaying. And so what we know and what we understand to be nice is based on what we've ever seen and what we compare to the other things. I don't know if you're in a built-up area and then suddenly you move to nature, then you call that beautiful. But Adam and Eve cried, if I use a different word, when things started to decay. I would like to say that they witnessed for the very first time the consequences of distancing from God. They witnessed for the very first time death. Now, we've been talking about death this week. Not only this week, this month. Not only this month, this year. This congregation has suffered death one after another. And this is hurtful. This is painful. But as we read the scriptures, it is clear that this isn't the world that God made. This isn't what God had in mind when he first planted Adam and Eve in the garden. This is a result of the consequences of the decisions that have been taken over generations and generations, including us. This is the result of distancing further and further away from God and allowing the enemy to come in. I've shared this before here, but I chose to share it again because it brings about the point so well again. I remember my grandmother's village, many chickens always running around the yard. They were the real, what do you call them? I had crocs, free range is the word that I was after. You're supposed to be paying a premium nowadays for free range because free range meat is the meat that's not sort of trapped in a cage when it's grown. They graze freely and they walk around and it's supposed to be healthier. And so my grandmother had lots of chickens around the yard. And one day I was watching as this huge predator, this bird, was flying close to the chickens. And there were the little baby chickens around close by. And I noticed what happened immediately as they sensed danger ahead. They started racing towards the mum. And the mum would simply open her wings up wide and the little ones would come and dip underneath the wings and she folds them back again and she just sits.
Yes.
And no harm could touch those little ones when they were underneath the mother's wings. The mother is just way too heavy for this bed to lift off. And so it was a safe zone. It was a place that they could find safety, these little ones. Now, it did happen many a times when these little ones wandered too far away from mum. They couldn't make it back in time to safety. And I'm sharing with you about minding the gap today. God is emphasizing that the further we go away from God, the greater the risk. Now, many of us don't do this intentionally, but Satan has found ways and means to get our attention. We so desire to be close to God, but somehow the things that we know to be true, Satan has ways and means to stop them from happening. Now, we know from the example of Jesus that Jesus rose a great day before daylight and found himself in communion with God. Quiet time in prayer with God. Quiet time contemplating on the plan of salvation. Contemplating on the will of the Father. And it is a great example that was set before us. And it says in the book Desire of Ages, page 362, how constant was his communion with God. Again and again in the history of his earthly life are found records such as these. Rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Now I believe this is a mechanism that brings you closer to God. It closes the gap. It strengthens your relationship with God. It is a fortification mechanism, a defense mechanism against the enemy, because as you spend time with God, you suddenly find yourself not fearful. The things will still come, bereavements will still come. But however, when God is so much entwined in your being, then you are not afraid of tomorrow. You are confident that the God who was there at the beginning and the God who wants to restore all things to being beautiful again will come through eventually. And so you try your best to rise up a great while before daytime. Now this varies depending on people to people and what time your pattern is. But this is a great mechanism of defense that God has laid before us. I found myself struggling with this when we had our son. And for those of you who are parents, you know what it is like to have a newborn. They require constant care and attention. In fact, they say for the first 6 months, try and have them in the room that you're in always, 24 hours. So he's still sleeping in our room, and he'll wake up many times in the night, and he needs attention. He's a typical boy. He loves his food, and so he's constantly wanting food every 3 hours or so, 4 hours or so. He's awake. And so I found myself naturally getting up a lot more than I used to. In fact, let me say, before we had Ethan, it used to be that bedtime comes, you count to 15, he is gone. I'll just sleep. I count it a blessing because I know many people struggle with sleep. But I count it a privilege when you can do that. And Tamara can tell you, I'll sleep. And if I don't need to get up, I won't get up. I don't go to the bathroom or anything until the next morning. And so I used to think, how is it? How will I ever manage with what I hear people say, my work colleagues say, man, it's tough when you have a baby. They get up, get you up, and interrupted sleep. And I knew that if I have any fewer hours than at least maybe 7 hours or so, I'm a different person. I'm not as alert. I'm not as sharp. And I might be at the desk, and you can kind of sense that I've been typing this sentence now for a bit too long than I should have. That kind of thing. And so naturally what happened as a result of me getting up at night a lot more is I found myself struggling to get up a great day, a great while before daylight and spend time with God. I believe Satan has ways and means of bringing things. It's not our intention. And things are different for your situation. But Satan will have a way that the very thing that brings you closer to God, you will find yourself struggling with. Now, I'm saying Satan because it's normal and natural to have babies, and God desires us to have families that are strong and families that he blesses with children. But Satan will find ways to manipulate what God has given to become a hindrance to you serving him. And for me, the challenge was I get up, I open the Bible, I'm reading. And I find that I've gone through several verses, but it seems like I'm just scanning the lines. And I don't know if this echoes with anyone here, but you're trying your best, and it's not actually happening. And maybe after a little while, you actually find yourself dozing off. Or maybe you are in the middle of a heartfelt prayer, and you don't know what the last word was, because suddenly you woke up. And you are on your knees or you're close to your bed, something happens somewhere across, somewhere in the duration of that prayer, you fell asleep. Now, this was my challenge. And I knew that this was interfering with my relationship with God. That gap was starting to grow bigger. Suddenly, from being a calm person through the course of the day, I'm not as calm when I get to work. Things are getting to me when things are thrown at me, emails coming in, people wanting things done yesterday, and pressure building up. Rather than responding in a calm manner because you've had a great quality time with God to set you up for whatever you might face during the day, I've not had as long a quality time with God, and suddenly my response is different. Now, these are things that come as a result of us not having that good, strong bond with God. God says time and time again, he's not given us a spirit of fear. And we find that the more that we are away from God, the more unstable naturally we are. We're afraid of things. And you can have two people facing exactly the same situation, and our responses are completely different because one doesn't believe in God, He believes there is no God, and the other believes there is a God. And so even though they're facing the same, their responses are different. And God is saying, as we spend time consciously watching the gap between us and Him, things will change, things will be different. Now, I had to change my custom of waking up and going in a quiet room in our house to waking up and going outdoors. Having my devotions outdoors just brightened me up. It opened me up. It's hard for you to be asleep when it's early hours in the morning and you're in the fields. Where we live, there's a nearby woolly wood and it's beautiful for walks. And I find myself going there in the morning because it just helps me to get up. I might have had fewer hours of sleep, but when I'm not inside the house, I'm a lot better. I can somehow connect with God a lot better. I can have my prayers outdoors. Now, I'm sharing this with you because I had to find ways and means to close the gap that Satan was wanting to increase. I had to find ways different to narrow that up. They say you can't do the same things over and over again and expect a different result. And if you notice that your devotional time is struggling, you can't continue with the same habit over and over again. I had to think differently and say, you know what, maybe instead of being in the room, let me go outdoors. And in fact, I find that Jesus actually seemed to go along with the same way. He would go in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example, and there he prayed, and all these things. And now, what applies to me might not apply to you. You have a completely different lifestyle to me. But the principle that applies here is, you too can think different. You too can think about how you can change the routine that you have to be one that favors and strengthens your relationship with God. One that narrows the gap that Satan wants to instill. Because before we notice, even though we didn't intend to be disbelieving people, even though we didn't intend to dishonor God and to disobey God, the things that are day by day, little things happening, are further pulling us away from God. And I believe, sadly, this is the reason why many strong people who have served in this congregation, many people who have served the church, have left and turned their backs on the church and no longer serve God. I don't believe that any one of them, having studied the Bible, consciously said, I don't believe it anymore, I don't want nothing to do with God. But little by little, Satan was wooing and increasing that gap. And this is the danger that we all face, believers and unbelievers. This is why the Bible says, in the end times, even the very elect will be deceived. Those who know the Bible so well, those who are high up within the Adventist congregation, those who have served as pastors, they're no different, they're humans. And Satan is naturally working to pull all of us. And so we come to a state where, rather than things being all beautiful and wonderful, you read in the book of James, James chapter 4, a completely different picture to the one that God laid in the beginning. James chapter 4 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that you war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and you covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend on your pleasures. It seems that some of the things that are challenging this world, we're talking about fighting between nations. You're talking about unrest in Syria, unrest in all these places we hear about in the world. Why do these come about? Because society has rejected God. Society has distanced itself from God. And many people say, I do not want anything to do with religion. I do not want to hear anything about that. And so you have these wars and fighting. Just picture it. If the original Adam and Eve planted in the Garden of Eden, facing this beautiful scenery that God had finished creating, would have heard about what the condition of the earth would be in 2017. All these fightings within the church, within the group of believers of God, happening as well. I'm sure, just like Adam mourned and wept at the falling of the first leaf, this would have been a shock to his system as well. Now, this is the consequence of us distancing ourselves from God. And so what is the solution? James says this, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This is the solution, the biblical answer to the problems we face, the biblical answer to the challenges we face. We know that yes, there will be these unrest happening, but for those who draw near to God, they will understand that rather than weeping over the condition that they're in, they will know that there's safety as they run towards God. There's safety as they find themselves relying wholly upon the Lord. They will understand that there is a brighter day that's coming where things will be made new again. They will understand that God has promised that death will be no more, that pain will be no more. They will understand that suffering will cease. And that is the very reason why you and I have been called to actively share with everybody that Jesus is coming again. Because the world is hurting, our world is going through suffering, death after death. This is not what God intended. He didn't intend for us to be sorrowful and to be weeping and mourning, but he intended everything to be very good and to be exceedingly good. And as we run to him, like James says, as we draw near to God, Satan has no reason to be close to us. Just like Job, he has to seek for permission before he can come anywhere near us. And so we come to Revelation. Very much in the end, having witnessed these wars and fights and all these things happening, Revelation gives us the promise that there is a new earth that is coming, a new heaven that is coming. There is this city that is being built by God himself called the New Jerusalem, a city that will experience very different things to now, where the sun will not be required anymore, because God will dwell with his people and he will be the light, he will be the sun. And again, this New Jerusalem, where there will be no suffering, no tears falling, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, for the former things have passed away. I believe this is the message of hope that we ought to be reiterating time and time again. Particularly now when things are happening that Satan wants to make us weaker in our walk with God and to weaken our faith and to weaken our belief in God. When we remember that that is the very reason why Jesus had to come. Because the Word of God says he came so that we may have life. And life to the full. That's John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus and Father God in heaven saw the condition that we would be in today. And they saw the decay that would continue to happen. And they saw the enemy's plans, how Satan would want to continue to increase the gap between humanity made by God and God. And as a result, all these evil things come about and the unrest come upon the earth. And as a result, he could see that we would continue to die until we become extinct. And God says, I want to give them hope. I want to give them another opportunity to live eternally so that whoever will accept that Jesus died on their behalf, that he took the death that I should be having, can know that there is, again, coming a day when Jesus himself will declare that those who have died in Christ should rise again, never to die again. And this is the message that Christ wants to emphasize to us. And as I close, I want to share with you this. My late father passed away many years ago. He was a very good accountant working for the army. And before that, he had gone to war. It was the war that took place in the 70s, the war between Britain and Zimbabwe at the time. And he found himself on the battlefield, fighting for his country, defending his country. And naturally, those of you who know about military training, it develops you into a character that's supposed to be strong, a character that's supposed to be fearless, a character that's not afraid to enter enemy territory. And this is who he became. And I remember living with him. It's very not so clear on the screen here, but maybe if you look on the screen at the back, it's a better image of him there. And I remember early days, he had all these practices of keeping fit and all these things that we used to do as a family. He would say every night, everybody, if you are visiting included, we invite you. Family runs, we go for a jog. He liked to keep fit. And so behind where we lived, there was like an open field, no houses for quite a big space. And so he would lead the way, and he would lead us on family runs, and would go jogging, keeping fit, everybody there. Now, many of you who grew up in Jamaica and Africa, you know that not everywhere is lit up. You've got spots that are dark. And when we say dark, it's pitch black. And there are areas like those that he would find himself, my father would lead us into those areas because it's better for running. You don't want to be jogging where there's traffic and busy areas. So he would lead us towards the back of the houses, towards the fields. And these are areas where I would never dream of going on my own at night because they are areas where things happen in the dark. And as a little boy, I would hear stories of people being captured in the dark, and it would make me even more afraid. And so I would never dream of going there on my own. But however, even though it was the same place, same dark place, because we were going out at night, when my father was leading at the front, things were different. I was jogging not far from him. I could see my father. I know who he is. I know the fearless character he is. And suddenly I could enter those places that otherwise I would have been afraid to enter because my father is there, because I'm close to him, because I sense that he will protect me, because I sense that I don't need to be afraid. And the same message, the Bible is full of the same message saying, fear not if you come close to God, draw near to him. Because as we are close to God, then we have no reason to be afraid. These things will come, death will come. Suffering will come, pain will come, wars will come, the church will go into chaos, fighting will come, all these things will happen. However, those who draw near to God and stay close to God will understand that this is part of the plan. The Father is there to provide safety. The Father is there to lead His children to safety. And even though they may die now, they will resurrect again and they will live eternally. Amen. Safety is only when you're close. And I found myself some days on these evening jogs when I was not as fit. I found myself more or less near the back because I was the youngest. You're struggling to keep up. And as the distance grew or as the distance increased, the fear increased as well, because suddenly from seeing my father close by, he's further and further away from me. And now I am no longer as relaxed. And I'm trying now to get back as close as possible. And the same situation you could find yourself today, drifting further and further away from God. Now, you may have been noticing this happening, and God is saying, do something about it. Think different. Change your ways. Do whatever you need to do to close the gap. This is about eternity with God in a world where there's no suffering. What else can compare to it? This should be our number one priority. Yeah. This should be what we fight for, what we fight to defend, to close this gap that Satan wants to increase. This should be what we go about sharing with others who have no hope, that sorrow knows, do not sorrow without that understanding that the very reason that Christ died was so that those who have suffered the consequences of Satan can be free. And as I close today, I want to make an appeal for those who have found themselves struggling, those who know that where they are today isn't the place where God wants them to be, that they could be doing better to close this gap that Satan has increased. I want to make this appeal to a second group of people who maybe you're on the fringe. You're starting to inquire, starting to read the Bible more, starting, but you're still skeptical. And God is saying, safety is where I am. I created the world. I created a beautiful world. And I want to recreate a beautiful world again. I want to restore this world back to what it should be. And maybe God is speaking to your heart, saying, even though I'm on the fringe, even though you are inquiring from a distance, you can make that decision to say, Lord, I want there to be no gap between you and I want to be there when you come, so that truly I may see this world where death will be no more. I may see this world where suffering doesn't exist. I may see the world that is even better than what Adam and Eve saw in the beginning. The very beautiful things can be restored in my life. And if it's your desire, I'm simply asking you to close your eyes, open your heart to God. The Bible says He knocks. He doesn't force. He stands at the door and He knocks. And whoever will allow Him to come in, He responds. And He fills that void. He fills that gap. And suddenly things are new. Things are beautiful again. And if you're in this groups of people, any one or two of these, I pray that God will hear your prayer now as I pray on our behalf. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, it is clear from your word that you made us, and you made us beautiful. You made us strong. You made us tall and majestic. But Father, through the decisions that we have made over the course of our lifetime, we have found ourselves so far away, dear Lord, from what you intended. We find ourselves struggling with this idea of suffering. We find ourselves struggling with the idea of pain. We find ourselves struggling with death. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, for many who are in this position right now, a position of struggling one way or another, that, Lord, you may fill this void, this emptiness, and you may restore us. I know there's many more who are like me, who may have struggled at one point with staying close to you. Satan has thrown things at us that distance us from you. And so, Lord, I pray that whatsoever things that we find ourselves facing, that you may be the difference, and that truly by your grace, we may draw near to you. I pray, dear Father, that, Lord, for those who maybe have been inquiring from a distance about you, that, Father, truly through your word, it may be clear that there is a hope and there is a blessed day that's coming when all this that we have talked about for many years will become reality. When suddenly there will be another pure river, like the Revelation says. There will suddenly be things we have never seen, like the book of John says. There will suddenly be new bodies recreated in us because, Lord, you have come and you have restored us. And so I pray that, Lord, you may hear our prayers, O Lord. For to you we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name.